And I'll put on here that it's April 28th, isn't that right? 1992.
Is any use for me to identify?
May.
Is any use for me to identify myself or just start off or not?
I just want to get the date on there. It's May 28th. Yeah. That's a whole month up. I'm kind of behind the times here.
May 28th. Mm-hmm.
And we're with Lee Wingfield.
Leroy Wingfield.
Leroy Wingfield. And Charles and Odie Chapman. And Pam Merritt. And I'm Jerry Mills. And we're at the Chapman's house on, what do you call this little run here? Do you have a name?
Dotson Run.
Dotson Run. On the old Bemis Road.
Yeah, Bemis Road.
So, I have a lot of questions, but maybe the way we can start out here is tell you just how Pam and I got interested. Pam was out in the woods last fall and happened to stumble on the gravesite that the Chapmans had marked back in, and Lee, Mr. Wingfield, back in... was that the late 60s or?
69, I believe it was.
69.
Yeah, 68 or 69.
Okay, and the area we're talking about is near Pettit, which is not a town anymore, but I guess at one time it was. And my interest comes from music, and my interest in old songs and ballads, and the Omi Wise ballad has been one that I've heard of for a long time. And I, through a little bit of asking around, found out that the Chapmans had been interested in Omi Wise back 25 years ago or more?
Oh, yes.
And had found out a lot of information about her existence here in Randolph County, West Virginia. So maybe we can start out, Mr. Wingfield, by just you telling us how you remember the whole story, who you heard it from, and those kinds of things.
Okay. Pam, you understand this more as you follow me in the story. Back in the Depression days, they'd cut the timber behind on that hillside behind the grave. My father-in-law had a job logging it down with a team of horses, and I was a grab pounder for him. I don't know if you know what a grab pounder was. Charlie knows. And so one evening, the last trip down, I was following him down, and I'd noticed some roses over on the left. This road, the log road, is about 500 feet from where these roses was. And I thought, that's peculiar, roses there in the woods. And I laid my tools down and walked over and found out that it looked like maybe a grave there. So I never thought no more about it. And no thanks, I don't drink coke, thank you. And my father-in-law owned a farm right across the river from where your trailer is, and of course on up the road a few feet was a grist mill. My father-in-law owned a farm across the river there, and I brought a grist over to cornmeal to be ground at this grist mill. And old man Channel run the grist mill, and he's up in years, and I told him about these roses I saw. Well, he talked funny, and this is what he used. He always have a byword, says he. He said to me, says Lily, that lassie, he called her, was kinfolks to you. Well, that made me have a little bit of interest, so I said, how come? And he told me, he remembered when there was quite a lot of excitement when they found her body up there along the river, and he said they made... they had this mill down there, up there, a sawmill and a grist mill together. He said they took the boards and made her a grave, a coffin. And he said, I was there. And well, I said, would you go up? I'm a little bit skeptic, you know. And I said, would you go up sometime? Yeah, he said, I will. So Sunday afternoon, well, we walked up to where the grave is there. And he told me, he said, here where she was buried. And I said, where did you stand at, Bob? When he told me, he stood on the right-hand side, right at the head of the grave of the Lord. And he said, right below the road there, he told me who lived in a house there, you know, this road goes through it. And that was a farm, cleared out in there at one time where she's buried. And he said, they told her, that whoever lived there told her they could bury her here. And so I just left it go at that, and that went on, and unbeknownst to me, Ed Long was lived down there on the right across the river too, and he was a successful farmer. And unbeknownst to me at that time, he'd married what's her name's aunt, Noma Y's half-sister, I mean. So Ed got interested in it, and he come up, and we looked it over, and he was wanting to dig down and get permission to the judge to dig down and see if there's any evidence. And I said, no. I said, she laid this long, and but by that grave, so stop him bothering grave. So that after that, I dismissed my minds. And years afterwards, then Charlie come over, and somehow or another, you were searching.
Yeah, you come in the store last week.
The grave, yeah, the store, I think. And
now, Mr. Chapman was researching graveyards.
Not at that time. That was 15 years or more after that, wasn't it? Whenever I ran into you about that, yeah.
I see. He had already done all that work.
Yes.
So you told him that there was a grave out there?
Yeah, somebody told him there's a grave out there, and so I got in touch with him. Now, North Carolina has tried to claim the credit of that. But there's a man from, I don't know where he's from, the college up there in North Carolina. He came over there one time, and he was determined North Carolina had the credit. So I took the man over there, he took a picture of it, took him down to the and I told him everything but what Mr. Channel told him. I didn't tell him that. I was holding that back in case he got stubborn. I was going to tell him about that. So I showed him all of that, and I took him up to college. Now I said, it's immaterial to me what you believe. I was kind of getting a little aggravated with it. It put me through a lot of stuff. And I said, you can go back with the story. North Carolina had, but I said, she's not buried in North Carolina. He said, I'm convinced she's not. Huh. So
you don't remember that man's name, do you?
No, I don't. He was a young fellow. No, I don't remember his name. Then on top of that, I don't know who told me, but then I went to college, and I thought they'd find a record of these folk songs, you know. They're up here at the college. At that time, they didn't have it. But Morgantown University has it. And there's a girl who worked down there in the laboratory, in the, what's it called, and she told me they had 52 pages at the university on Noma Wise in the library there. So that's evidence of her grave. For what Mr. Channel told me, now Charlie will tell you later on, Mr. Channel was gone and never died before Mr.
This was Robert Channel.
Robert Channel. Mm-hmm. But Mr. Channel interviewed their boys, and they told him, their dad told him that story over and over and over and over. So he did. He attended the funeral. I asked Bob. Now, Bob didn't know how old he was. I asked Bob, I said, Bob, do you remember how old he was? And that's why I knew he didn't know he was old. Well, he said, I was just a young lad, he said. But he had a memory of it. And so now, Charlie can take the rest over.
Well, I still have all kinds of questions.
Charlie found out more about Noma Wise and them than I could ever found out.
Yeah, and you were somehow related to Noma Wise.
She was my mother's half-sister. Noma Wise's mother was never married. Okay. And she had, I knew, let's see, there's Lizzie Long was a half-sister to her, and Harvey Murphy's wife was a half-sister to her. And the last one that lived was in Morgantown, and I forget her name. That was half-sister to my mother. This woman, whenever her girls get up 10 or 12 years old, she'd give them out. And Bert Messenger raised my mother. I don't know if you've been over Parsons or not, but where that there big factory is, there.
The charcoal plant.
So right there, my mother was raising that farm. Mm-hmm. There. And she had one boy. She had one boy, and a woman told me, said that about that time they run a mixed train up Dry Fork, log train and a passenger coach. Mm-hmm. And they said there was a well-dressed lady come up there one time and went to this lady's house where had these children, and she left with that boy. That's the only boy she had. So
now,
it's
now what would Noma Wise's real name be? Does anybody
know? No. Back then, whenever they took those children out, now like my mother, Bert Messenger took her the name. I don't know what my mother was called before that. So when Bert took her, she took that name Messenger, you see. That's the way it was. And I guess this girl, Mr. Watts called, took her and she just went by that name. They was
that
outcast.
Was Theodore Wise. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Randolph Rice.
Actually, you
Randolph
know, Randolph. I used to call it in Tennessee, so I mentioned one place, the theater, but it's not, it's Randolph.
And Charles, you weren't such here where
no,
you
no, no, I'm all right.
Don't worry about it.
Pick it up from there.
No, you can give the rest. You got it.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Charles,
Randolph Rice.
So, Naomi was, nobody knows who her real father was, but she was raised by a messenger, or she was...
Raised.
She was born to a messenger family, or at least was living with a messenger family.
My mother was, yeah.
Your mother and Naomi?
No, just my mother.
Just your mother.
Yeah.
Okay. But Naomi was given to the...
Yeah, I think he can fill in and tell you how she got on with Mr.
To the Wises.
Right, yeah.
They took her to Rice.
And that was Randolph Wise.
Randolph Wise.
And where did Randolph Wise live?
He lived from Gay, didn't he?
Huh?
He lived where Gay did.
Yes. That was the house.
Randolph County?
That house was still there, Randolph Wise. He lived there where Gay and Summerfield.
That's the same house.
Oh, no, the house.
You remember Gay told us that was where she lived?
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
that's still standing.
Yeah, it's still standing.
It's a log house, but you wouldn't know.
It's still standing there.
When I went up there last week, they were taking it down.
Oh.
And it's down to one floor, but I took a picture of that.
Oh.
You mean they're tearing that down?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a shame.
Did you get inside the living room?
Yeah.
It had the overhead beams in the living room?
Mm-hmm. I wonder who's doing that. She died and the heirs fell in that and I don't know who owns it now. That's a shame.
Mm-hmm. She was living down there with one of the girls at Moore, wasn't she, Lee?
Huh?
Wasn't she down at Moore with one of the girls?
Yeah. She died with one of them.
Yeah.
Well, that's just pity, that story.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that.
Now,
go ahead.
Oh, excuse me. Now, you all have done a lot of research, and what have you come up with of proof of Naomi Wise's existence?
Well, a lot of it is from Lee's description, and also the fact that he talked personally to one of the men who helped bury her. Well, Mr. Channel was still living, and he saw it happen. Mm-hmm. Or rather, he saw after she was in the mill race, and they brought her out and buried her. And as I recall, you know, we talked to Eddie Channel on that, and he said he thought the reason that they didn't bury her there because she was going to have this child out of wedlock, see, and they didn't want to put her down there in Parsons Cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
So those people told them to put her up there on the bank. That's the main reason they didn't bury her.
And
up
who
there.
Was it that told you that?
Yeah, it was one of the channels. Was it Eddie or which
Eddie,
one was it?
Eddie told us.
One of Robert's grandchildren.
Grandchildren.
Made that mention. And I can believe that because at that time there was a great stigma attached to that. And a lot of people wouldn't let them be buried in a consecrated cemetery. Well, a Catholic see. And you couldn't bury them in a regular cemetery. Mm-hmm.
Now, she doesn't turn up in the 1880 Randolph County census.
No. Mm-mm.
So have you found, did you say you found her in a Bible, family Bible or something?
That's why I was going through the Elsie family. And they're very careful not to mention her.
Uh-huh.
Very careful not to mention her. Things like this back then just simply was not talked about. It was a total disgrace. No other word for disgrace. Yes,
it's pretty hard to find that out, and of course, we are pretty well convinced the background, but a lot of the people still living that are related, or relatives.
Oh, yeah, but there's no place, her name has never turned up in writing as being alive or being in any family or in any, at all, so there's really no proof of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think down Randolph in his census, Randolph Wise, and he shows how many children. I forget how many he showed. I don't recall what it was. And then the next time there was one less. The census will help you a lot, you know.
Yeah, back then, back here in the hills, you take when I was born, there was no record of my birth at all. They just didn't turn it in, you see.
A lot of them didn't.
I had to get a birth certificate made.
Yeah. You know, Dr. Humboldt Yoakum here at Beverly, he had so many. Yeah. And what's that census?
This is 1880 or
1780. What date census is that?
This is 1850 census.
1850.
Of Randolph.
I can remember, Charlie, being on that, maybe I told you, on that grist mill, that I must have been only about 6 or 7 years old. I remember very well walking across on a bridge like and seeing that big water mill race underneath.
Yeah, yeah.
And this saw, I remember it stayed up and down. That's the way the saws was then.
Yeah.
And, but a very, very small boy. Then later on, that song was popular. And I'd sing it, you know, up 16 to 17. And I'd walk from there, maybe up the river to Elkins, and I'd inquire everybody, was the grist mill up here, grist mill up here? And here I was, right down my home place, and didn't realize it.
So but you actually used to sing the song?
Huh?
You actually used to sing the song?
Oh, that was popular when I was young folks.
Can you still remember it?
No, it's been so long. See, there's two or three versions of the song. Now, he has the original of it, and... and I was a young fella, that was very popular.
I can't find it either, Jerry. She was just saying she was trying to find that tape.
But what baffled me, I could never find where the grist mill was up along the river. I'd inquire clear up the stone bridge, you know, around. And here it was, well, I was raised right to half a mile
of this. Did the song you knew say Cheat River?
Well, now that wouldn't be sure. I think she did, though. My daughter worked at Washington for years. She was a secretary down in the Capitol. And she told me that she was, found a record even in Washington about just a few pages. And she said it mentioned Shavers Fork. Shavers Fork is the correct name for that river. Mm-hmm. And even there it was mentioned in that.
Shavers Fork, Cheat River.
Yeah.
The one copy of the song that you all have is does say Cheat River.
Deep River. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I looked for that tape and I can't find it.
I don't know where it is. I haven't seen
it for ages.
It'd be impossible to be any other way since Mr. Channel was eyewitness and he told me, and the old man to never lie.
Well, he was present at the actual
burying.
He helped.
No, he's too little, but he's burying.
He was present at the burying.
Yeah, and when he took me up there, I said, now, Bob, where did you stand? And he showed me right where he stood, and he told me all about it. It's quite a large thing for a boy to go through with, a young fellow at that time.
Now, did he sing the song,
sing the song?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I wonder, the song is always even titled Naomi Wise, and was it the fact that this woman named Naomi Wise... How did you make the connection between the song and knowing that that's where she was buried? Is that something that people always talked about when you were young?
Well, no. Well, yes. My Aunt Jane Pennington, Charlie knows who I'm talking about, Jesse Pennington's wife, she said she was a sister to my Naomi Wise's mother. And Aunt Jane always did say that she called her Lassie. She said, this Lassie is kinfolks to us, to you, she said. And she told me she was a sister to that girl's mother. But it didn't make no impact on me at that time, and just that, you see. And then, and I don't know who told Mr. Channel, but like I told you, I went over to the grist mill and told him about finding the... See, years back, some woman planted a rose on there. And that thing lived for years and years and years.
There's still a little root of it there when we went there, remember?
Yeah, there was still a root there yet growing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then when he told me that... He said that Lassie, he called her, he said she's some kinfolks for you. That was the second time then somebody told me that. Then that time the records come out on these here, what you call records, rolls.
Yeah, around.
He's on one of them and he's very popular.
At that time,
very popular. And that's how I picked it up. And then, like I told you then, Mr. Long got interested. And then after that, after Charlie come over and got started, I got a letter from a man in Virginia And he told me he was a song about her, a book about Nelma Wise, and wanted me to send what evidence, what information I had. And I sent him what this Mr. Chandler said. Never heard more from him. Then, Charlie, I don't know, maybe I told you this, but Billy Goff lived there at Pettit. And I didn't know this, but my sister told me. And his wife knowed all about it. I think she's the one that told about this well-dressed woman coming up and taking the boy away,
yeah,
you see,
that
thing. And all that, but that didn't make much of an impact on me. So after Charlie came, then created a little bit more interest, you see, in it.
Now, what about the man who killed her?
Well, he can fill you in on that.
Where did you get your, find any information on him, Charlie?
Lewis, yeah, that's, he has some, was it Scranton or Lancaster, are they?
I think you knew it said Scranton.
Yeah, yeah. Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I thought it was Lancaster.
I don't remember.
It's supposed to be.
A lot of those people came down here to work in the hardwood, you know, the loggers, and they worked here from North Carolina and Pennsylvania for it. And, apparently he was a pretty smooth character, but he's well liked, and he's well thought of. He worked there at the mill. Was that the Islanders had the mill then, or was it Drumgold? Who had that temporary?
That mill.
I
guess that was the Islanders.
Yeah.
Then somehow or another, whenever they went out of the business, of course, it's a small grist mill. Then Channels. Bob Channel's dad then come and started that and down there, which is a bigger mill.
The original songs, they said that everywhere he would go, she was with him. And of course, she was quite young. And so anyway, he got in trouble, and so she finally told him that if he didn't marry her, she was going to blow the whistle on him. And that at that time, it was a pretty serious thing. And so the song goes that he told her that if she would beat him down to Adams' Spring at night, that they would go down to town and get married. And says something about, I'll take you to town and buy you many fine things. But anyway, it's all rhyme in the original song. So she went down there to meet him, and they were horseback riding, as I recall, and he knocked her head and threw in the mill race there. But he had counted on the water carrying her on out, you see, and on down towards Rollsburg. But he didn't. Her dress, she had this long dress, and it got caught in the some snags on the logs that was in it. So he used to float logs down the river there, a lot of water, and it float down to Rollsburg and down the river, and that was a big thing there, annual spring log runs. And of course, she was there when the men come out to work the next morning, you see, on the bluff. She's still there. He didn't realize that she would still be there.
And how did you find, or what, do you remember where you found any information about Lewis, about where he was from or anything? Did somebody tell you that, or do you remember?
Charlie, do you remember how you got that?
Don't remember, was it Pat Michaels?
I'm not sure.
We used to know quite a lot of elderly people around Parsons there that knew a lot more about it than I did, and they would offer random bits of information of time to time after they got so they knew you. And I'll tell you, I worked in Tucker County for many years and knew a lot of people there.
And then another thing.
They would tell you things.
We cataloged the cemeteries for Tucker County and published a book.
Yeah, a senior book.
And we have also cataloged Randolph County and Barber County. And they are ready, that Randolph County is ready for press now, but it's so dreadfully expensive because this book will have close to 1,000 pages, a book this size.
Yeah.
And most publishers want to do 1,000 books, and it runs you into the thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And then Barber, altogether it was around $50,000 is what they wanted to do the two books.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems a little steep to me. Mm-hmm. And so that is our interest in all graves. That's why we stumbled into this. He came in and asked if we were interested in one grave. Yes, we were. And then it all began to develop.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to understand how we got into it too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And over the years, you have a tendency to forget some of the things that you've heard about and some of the people that have told you things, because you automatically, you wouldn't kind of put it away.
Here's Randolph Wise, 17 years old, living with this family in 1860. Then he went in the service, got the arm cut off. He came back and married and took this little girl in.
Mm-hmm. Were they still living up Becky's Creek at that time, or had they moved to near Pettit yet?
Now, here is the strange thing.
Hey, they have one of the Scots up at
Putnam's. In 1850, I have it in the census, but I loaned my book, and it doesn't seem to be in here.
It's, well, I didn't bring it back.
Yeah, that's what you get. You loan your book.
I know the reason you didn't have it. She loaned it and didn't come back.
But Naomi Wise has never turned up on a census record.
No. Oh, they legitimate children never did. You'll never find them on the census. They just eliminate them as if they're not there. That was the 1850 census, page 8. And I can't seem to...
I know who you loaned it to, but it's not there now. They didn't bring it back.
There it says Randolph.
You dropped your handkerchief, Pat.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So let me try to get this straight one more time.
Go ahead.
Naomi was born. What was Naomi's mother's name?
Do you want to tell
them? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have it. No, you have it there in the book right there.
Chanel's name.
Mm-hmm. So her real mother was an Elza. Mm-hmm. E-L-Z-A. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Caroline Elsie. Mm-hmm. Okay. She was the daughter of Thomas Elsie. Mm-hmm. In 1850, Thomas Elsie was 40 years old. And his wife was Sarah White.
Caroline was the daughter of Thomas?
Thomas Elsie and Sarah White Elsie. Thomas and Sarah had 7 sons, 8 sons. 8 sons and 1 daughter.
Uh-huh. And that one daughter was Naomi?
No, the one daughter was Caroline.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. Okay. So now we'll get down to Caroline. And do we know how many children she had?
Well,
not exactly. It's sort of off the record.
You through with this?
Sure.
This is the 1860 census of Thomas. Uh-huh. Caroline's not with her. Let's start from the beginning.
Okay.
Here was the Bible record. That thing.
Don't worry about that. Just forget that. This is just so I won't get the information wrong.
Oh, yeah.
This is the Bible record of Joseph Elsie.
Okay.
And it was given to me by Mary
Cottrell, C-O-T-T-R-E-L-L.
This was her father.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the entire family of Joseph.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Did you know Mary Lee?
Who?
From the Bible.
Mary Cottrell.
No.
She knew about that.
Oh, yes, she
knew. Yeah, Mary knew about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she said, well,
so this was the 1840 census of
the Bible.
She had
the Bible there, so I can copy that. You can credit for what you
want. Is this Mary, is she still living?
No, no, she's dead.
Okay.
You're just a little late.
Yeah, she's dead.
Then here was from Boswell's history on the Elsies.
Okay.
See, they came to Randolph County from Mineral County. He served as a captain of militia in 1844.
Okay.
This is his family. See the daughter?
Mm-hmm.